You're listening to the Church on the Move Roswell podcast. We hope this message inspires you, encourages you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Thanks for listening. Let's check it out.
I'm starting a new series on grace, and so I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Romans chapter 5, if you will, please. We're going to start reading from there. But before we do that, I want to tell you a story. It's not a true story, but it is a story. And so, man, there's a guy, he dies, he goes to heaven, and outside the gates is St. Peter, and man, he's got a book in front of him, and the guy says, hey, Peter, I noticed I didn't go directly into heaven, I'm still standing out here, I see the gates, how do I get in the gates? And Peter said, well, it's a 100-point system. And he says, what do you mean 100-point system? He says, you tell me the good things you did, and I'll give you some points. And so he said, oh, man, I got some good stuff. He said, listen, 50 years marriage, never cheated on my wife. I didn't even, in my heart, ever cheat on my wife. How many points is that? Peter goes, man, that is awesome. That is 3 points. The guy's like, that's 3 points? He said, that's crazy. He said, okay, all right, here's another one. I never missed church. I tithed and I served all my life, and you know that. How many points is that? He goes, that is incredible. That is incredible. Peter's like, that is incredible. That is 1 point. The guy's like, man, I've only got 4 points, and I've told you the two biggest things I said. He said, I got one more. This has got to be worth some more points than four. He said, listen, I started a soup kitchen, and I fed the poor, and, I mean, that soup kitchen's still feeding the poor, even though I'm dying. That's got to be worth some more points than four. He said, yeah. Oh, he said, it's worth more points than one. He said, that is 2 points. He said, I've told you the three biggest things I've ever done in my life, and I'm at 6 points. I'm never going to get to 100. He said, it looks like the only way I'm going to get in is by the grace of God. And Peter said, well said, my son. Now you can enter in. Now you can come in. And so God says this in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 12. When Adam sinned, the entire world was afflicted. We were afflicted with a disease called sin. When he sinned, it says, when Adam sinned, all mankind fell. We all fell. And now, it's when I talk about kids, you know, I've never had to teach a child how to be rude or how to say be selfish. I mean, it's the opposite. They grow up thinking mine and me, and they start off by crying, feed me, change my diaper. That's what all those cries mean. Hold me. Don't lay me down. I don't want to sit like that. Don't hold me like that. It's like, wah, wah, wah. Right? They don't come out just smiling at you like, thank you, pretty please, and okay, how can I serve you? And I mean, you have to teach them those things. Why? Because we've been afflicted with a disease called sin and selfishness from the very beginning. That's why we have to teach people to be kind. We don't have to teach them to be selfish. That comes naturally because of the fall of Adam. That just comes. We have an affliction called sin and called selfishness. And it says this, sin entered human experience and death was the result. And so death followed this sin, casting its shadow over all humanity because all have sinned. Sin was in the world before Moses gave the written law, but it was not charged against them where there no law existed. Yet death reigned as king from Adam to Moses, even though they hadn't broken a command the way Adam had. The first man, Adam, was a picture of the Messiah who was to come. Now, there is no comparison between Adam's transgression or Adam's sin compared to the gracious gift that we experience. For the magnitude of the gift far outweighs the crime. So what does that mean? It means that the gift of grace that we've been given through the Lord Jesus Christ far outweighs the sin. God doesn't, man, I love it. God said, you know, he says all the time, my cup runneth over. And he says, man, you can't outgive me. You can't outdo me. I do exceedingly abundantly above what you dare ask or think. I lavish you with my love. I mean, he's just pouring this. He wants to pour it out and overflowing all the time. And it all started with, he didn't equal sin. See, if we owed sin, let's say sin equals $10 billion, and we owed $10 billion, God, Jesus didn't come in and pay $10 billion. He paid a trillion times infinity amount. He overwhelmed it. He paid the price above and beyond what the price was, what the price actually was. And so it says this, it's true that many died because of one man's transgression, but how much greater? Here's that, how much greater will God's grace and his gracious gift of acceptance overflow to many because of what one man, Jesus, the Messiah, did for us. It goes on to say, in this free-flowing gift, it's free-flowing. It's free and it's flowing. It's free and flowing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, nonstop. It's free and flowing. That's how available it is. Gift imparts to us, hear that word again, much more than what was given to us through the one who sinned. For because of one transgression, one sin, we all are all facing a death sentence with a verdict of guilty. But this gracious gift leaves us free from our many failures and brings us into the perfect righteousness of God, acquitted with the words, not guilty. Grace says not guilty. It goes on to say, death once held us in its grip. By the blunder of one man, death reigned as king over humanity. But now, how, here's that word again, much more are we held in the grip of grace and continue reigning as kings in life, enjoying our regal freedom through the gift of perfect righteousness in the one and only Jesus, the Messiah. The one and only Jesus. He's one and only Jesus Christ. And so what all that is saying is look, we all fell. When Adam fell, we all fell. And we all know that we've all sinned. And we all also need to know that God is holy and perfect. And anything except holy and perfect cannot exist in his presence and cannot exist in his kingdom. And he cannot have a relationship with that person. So Jesus had to come, holy and perfect, and pay a price for us so that now God looks at us through the blood of Jesus, through the holy blood of his son, and now he sees us as holy and perfect. Even though we're not, he still sees us that way because he gave us this gift of grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Otherwise, we didn't earn it. We don't deserve it. We can't demand it. We can't compete for it. It's a gift. It is a gift of acceptance. It's a gift of love. It's the greatest gift ever given to anyone at any time and ever will be given. It's God's unmerited favor. It's his inexhaustible. It's his inexhaustible kindness and mercy poured out on us. It can't be exhausted. It's much more than the sin that we've ever committed. Much more than the sin that all of mankind has committed. It's much more. It's greater. It's way beyond it. That's how graceful, that's how unbelievably kind and merciful God is. He paid our price. And now we are paid in full. We are paid in full. And I have looked at all the other religions. I've studied them and studied them even deeper. In every religion, from Islam to Buddhism to Hinduism, to Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, all these other sects and all these other religions, because they're different religions than ours, because all of them have one thing in common that makes Christianity the most unique. All of them, you can earn heaven, paradise. You can actually put God in debt to you. Because if you can work for it, listen, we have like 70 employees here at the church. We were talking to a guy the other day, Pastor Sean and I were, and I just use this as an example. When Pastor Sean works for the church and we give him a paycheck, that's not a gift of grace. He earned it. When you go to work, your boss is not gracing you. He's not saying, hey, you know what? You don't have to work. I'm just going to pay you all year long. No, you have to come and show up and actually work, and you earn that paycheck. It's not a gift. I remember working for people that act like they were giving me a gift. I'm like, well, that's not a gift. A gift is something I don't earn. I earn that paycheck. Right? All these other religions say that we can put God in debt and we can earn his holiness. We can earn a relationship with him by works in this life. That's why I told that joke at the beginning. Because it's a joke to think that anything we do can earn perfection. Because once we are born into the fall of Adam, and once we've sinned, we are imperfect and cannot be made right on our own or by any good work. I've talked to people all the time that think, I do more good than bad. That's going to get me into heaven. Oh, I hear this. I hear this all the time. Every one of those religions believe it. They can earn nirvana. They can earn paradise. They can earn to become part of the universe. They can earn their own, in the Mormonism, you can earn your own planet and become the god of your own planet. You can earn this and you can earn that. You can earn your way into the 144,000 of Jehovah's Witnesses and be at the highest level of heaven. You can earn it. But we can't. We can't earn it. It is an absolutely gift of God. That's how much he loves us. He sent Jesus to die for our sins, his holy blood for our unholiness, all of our sin. And he offers it freely as a gift to anyone that will call on his name. Anyone that will receive it can be saved. Anyone around the world, no matter where you're at, where you come from, your background, it doesn't matter. If you call upon the name of the Lord and you accept this unbelievable gift and he accepts you, man, listen, you are saved. He will save your life. And he wants to. That's why he came and died. It said for God so loved the world. It didn't say we loved him. It says he loved us. It doesn't say for God so thought how man deserved it, that we earned it. It's nothing to do with it. That's why all those religions are false religions. And listen, Satan doesn't care which one you hook up with. You can hook up with an atheist. You can hook up with a Satanist. You can hook up with the Mormons. You can hook up with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can hook up with the Islam. You can hook up with Buddhism. You can, whatever. You can create your own religion, create whatever you want to believe. He doesn't care. There's a million ways to follow Satan, but there's only one way to get saved, and you have to go through Jesus. You have to go through Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the only way you can be saved. And you can't earn it, and you don't have to work for it because you couldn't. You could spend a lifetime of doing good things. And the Bible says our good works are as filthy rags in the sight of God, because a lot of times we do good things for wrong reasons. To get a pat on the back or get the glory, and we have ego in it, or, man, I mean, guys, and even when we have the right reasons, it's nothing compared to the sin that we've committed. And we've all fallen short, and I'm not here to beat anybody up. I have a smile on my face talking about it because I know I'm forgiven by the only one that can bring that forgiveness, and that's the gift of grace, the gift of mercy, the gift of kindness that is given to me because I have surrendered and you have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all we do is receive a gift. It wouldn't be a gift if you had to pay for it. If someone walked up to you and said, man, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a brand new car for $90,000. That's not a gift. You're like, hold on a second. I thought this started off as a gift. I thought you were giving me something. I got excited. But I had to pay for it? That's not a gift. You don't have to pay for it. It is a gift. It's a gift of kindness that is unreal. It's unmatchable. There's no one else that can do it either. Only Jesus could do it. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. That's why the Bible says, wide is the way to hell, but narrow is the way to heaven. It doesn't mean that it's like, you know, you gotta kind of walk this line. It just means there's only one way to get to heaven, but there's a million ways, a million trillion ways that you can go to hell. And why do people go to hell? It's because they have chosen, instead of surrendering their life to Jesus, they've chosen to surrender their life and follow Satan, whether you're following Satan through atheism. You can be an atheist, you're following Satan. He would like you to believe nothing better than to believe there's nothing. Gosh, what a hopeless life. What a people that believe that live so selfishly. Because there's nothing. So I might as well just live for me. He don't care if you believe Islam or Buddhism. He don't care what religion, as long as it's not Jesus. That's why even in the military now, those chaplains can pray in the name of God, but they can't pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's trouble. That's why Jesus is always under attack. And that is why all these other religions incorporate him. In Islam, in the Quran, Jesus is the only miracle worker. He's the only one that was raised from the dead and raised people from the dead. He's the only one that did miracles. They incorporate him as a deity or a prophet in Buddhism and Hinduism, which is, guys, this is seven, between Christianity and these major religions, that is 77 to almost 80% of the entire planet believes one of those. Believes one of those. And only 33% claim that to be Christians. So that means, guys, that 67% of the rest of the world is lost, thinking they have to earn something, and they've dropped Jesus down. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe. They believe he's the Lord, the Son of God, but he is not God. Well, only God is holy, and only God is perfect, and only God could die for us. He came in the form of his Son. So they lower him. The Mormons lower him. And they believe they'll be equal to God, which is the same lie Satan believed. And Satan's okay with them. They can do all kinds of good things. People can do all kinds, bad, good. He don't care. Satan don't care. There's a million ways he wants to drag people to hell. And the reason they go is because they choose to follow Satan instead of follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You go with who you follow. Satan's end is hell. Jesus' end is heaven. So whoever you follow, that's the direction you choose to go. You are choosing your direction. But God offers this free-flowing gift of grace. He's like, man, here, it's free. It has to be free. You can't earn this. But I'm going to give it to you anyway. It's truly a gift. It's truly a gift that we cannot demand, we cannot compete for. It's truly, it's the most exceptional gift ever offered to anyone. Go with me to Romans chapter 11. We're going to read from there. Romans chapter 11. I love talking about grace. I love talking about this incredible gift that God's given us. So, Pastor Troy, why do we do good then? We do good because of the grace, because of the gift. Man, he's given us such a great gift that we don't do good to earn salvation. We do good because he gave us salvation. It's the exact opposite. And it's the only thing that makes, it is the most unique feature of Christianity. And it's the only religion in the world that talks about a gift. It's the only one in all the world. Only one. That it's free and it's a gift and we can't earn. You know, human beings love to try to earn stuff, man. They love to delegate God down to our level of humanity. If he was just one of us. He's just one of us. He's just like us. No, he's not. He's not like us. He's not like us at all. He's holy. He's perfect. He's righteous. He doesn't act kindly. He is kindness. He isn't courageous. He is courage. He isn't love. He doesn't act in love. He is love. He isn't patient. He doesn't have the quality of patience. He is the essence of patience. He is those things. We act on those things. But he's the origin of it. He's the creator of it. Of all of it. And he's the one that said, man, I love you so much. I'm going to make this right. I'm going to give you a way of escape. I'm going to find a way to rescue you. And I'm going to send. I'm going to come in the form of my Son and live holy before you in a human suit. Because a man gave it away named Adam. So a human being, someone in a human suit had to come and get it back. It had to be someone in the form of a man. But Jesus wasn't Jesus was born of a virgin, right? So he was fully man, but he was born of the Spirit, so he was fully God. And he's the one that came to make it right, and he's the only one that can. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Verse 5 says this. It says, and this is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace, everybody say grace, empowers his chosen remnant. And since it is by God's grace, it can be a matter of their good works. It can't be a matter of their good works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift of grace, but earned by human effort. Wow. Wow. Because human beings have trouble really receiving gifts. And really receiving that God is superior. Listen, grace, it is naturally someone superior giving something as a gift to someone inferior. That's the only way grace can operate, is that someone above gives someone something to someone below them that they can't earn or get to as a gift, and lifts them up. Lifts them up with that gift. That is grace. And we can't, I want to keep on saying it, you can't earn salvation. You can't earn his love. He's already given it to you. Man, so many people, they receive Jesus Christ as Lord, and then they get legalistic. Like, oh man, now I got to continue to earn his love. He loved us when we didn't love him at all. How much more do you think he loves you now that you love him back? When you were a stranger to him, he loved you. How much more does he love you now that he's you're his son or daughter? But yet we want to get legalistic and start trying to earn it, because human beings naturally want to lower God down to our level instead of let him be who he said he is, and let him be God, and let him be merciful, and let him be kind, who he is and what he says he is. We need to surrender to that and allow him to pour out this unreal, unbelievable, inexhaustible gift of kindness and mercy on our lives and just bathe in it. It's a gift. It's a gift. Just receive it. Live with it. Accept it. When sin separated us from God, man, sin made it impossible for us to make a way back. But Jesus made it possible. He opened it. That's why he said, I'm the door. I am the door. That door was shut and slammed and locked and bolted. And it was impossible for it to be opened. But Jesus opened that door by dying and sacrificing his life for us. Oh, my goodness. Guys, listen. When you finally accept this gift of grace and you really just accept it, it will inspire you. It will inspire you. And I'm going to tell you what else it does. It sets you free from the control and dominion of sin. Sin will no longer keep you in bondage. Sin will no longer be your dictator. Until Jesus Christ becomes a Lord and you accept this gift of grace, this inexhaustible, unearned gift of forgiveness in life, until you receive that, you don't. Most people don't realize that they're a slave to sin. You're not in control of it. It's in control of you. Anybody that's ever been addicted knows what that is like. Whether you've been addicted to lust, whether you've been addicted to anger, whether you've been addicted to depression, whether you've been addicted to drugs or alcohol, any form of addiction, whether emotional, physical, spiritual addictions, then you know you're not in charge of nothing. You're a slave to it. But Jesus set us free in this life. Freedom from that slavery and that bondage. I'll never forget that, man. I came to church, and some of you know my story. I came to church for all the wrong reasons, but I received Jesus Christ as the Lord and received that gift of grace. And after that, he began to remind me constantly, you're free from that, you're free from that, you're free from that. Why are you still doing that? You're free from that. It don't control you anymore. You're free from that. You're free from that. And I would be like, man, I am. I'm free from that. This thing no longer controls me. And he processed me to freedom. To freedom. And I won't forget that the last time I partied with my buddies, They kept pulling me and pulling me. It's amazing. I call it the crab in the bucket mentality, that a crab will start crawling out of the bucket, the other crabs will grab them and pull them right back out of the bucket. And so it's amazing that when people start getting free, that others who are in slavery want to pull them back to slavery. And so my friends were relentless in pursuing me to come back, and they would always tell me, "Man, I've seen other people get religion, smother man. You'll be back." So they would constantly pursue me to come back and party and do this and do that. And man, they'd offer me the moon to do it. And man, it's all free. Come on, man, you don't have to pay anything, do anything, just show up. Well, one time, man, they were pursuing me so hot and heavy, and I hadn't been with them in months, and they were just pursuing me. "Hey, this is going to be the best party. You got to come, man. We want you there. You don't have to drink. You don't have to do any of that." And I bought that. I let them convince me of that lie. And so I show up, and the first thing they do is they hand me a beer. And man, I grab it, and I'm like, crud. And I'm kind of sipping on it, and I'm like, the whole time, "You're free. You're free," inside, in my heart. "You're free." There's a cry of freedom. "Free! You're free! You're free! You don't need to do this anymore. You're not a slave to it anymore like you used to be. You're free! You're free! You're free!" And I remember setting that down, and I began to watch the people in the room, and I saw all the addictions, and not from a judgment perspective, just it broke my heart to see how many of my buddies, we were already alcoholics, and I know so many of them have died now from alcoholism over a period of time, many of them very young, car wrecks, and just flat out ruined their livers. And I've seen so many of my friends and so many of the people graduated with me are dead from it. And I saw it very clearly at 20-something years old. I saw it very clearly. And I'm like, wow, this is so messed up. How was I even in this? And I realized how messed up I was and how big a slave to this lifestyle and this thinking was. And I mean, I have people that are teenagers that try to say, "Man, it's just so hard. It's so hard." Listen, I was a teenager when I took a stand. "Oh, it's hard to be 20 and take that stand." I was 20 and I took that stand. "It's hard to be 23. I was 23 and I took that stand. I took it from 17. I was almost 18. From that point forward, I took that stand. And God began to separate me. It's called sanctification. His grace began to remind me how free I was. And the freer I got, the more separated from sin and from that whole lifestyle I got from that. I got freer and freer and freer. And I set that beer down. Started to leave. This girl started a conversation with me named Laura, and Laura started this conversation with me, and Laura was like, "Man, I've always wanted to hook up with you, da 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 da." And so, man, I'm like, "Oh no." And so I try to get out. I go out of the house. She follows me out of the house, and she's like, "Listen, man, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and I've always wanted to hook up with you, and da 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 da." And I just was so tempted in that area too. And so I so, man, I was tempted, and I was about to give in, and I just grabbed her by the shoulders, and I said, "Laura." And she looked at me like, "What?" I said, "I'm free from this. I'm free from this, Laura." I said, "And you need to get free too." I said, "Laura, your life is so broken. You're so broken. I can see it. It's obvious. The fact that you'd be willing to even participate in something like this, in so many years we haven't seen each other, just in a heartbeat, in a night, just trying to get acceptance, just trying to feel pretty, just trying to feel something and be something and have someone value you. You're willing to give all that you have away just to feel some value." And I said, "Laura, you're free. I'm free and you're free. Jesus wants to set you free tonight." And I remember she teared up. I said, "Your value is so much more than this. You've so been devalued. You're so lost." I said, "I've been there. I know that feeling, but I know what it's like to be free. And Laura, I'm free and we're not going to do anything, but I want to lead you to Jesus Christ right now." And I'll never forget her weeping and just saying, "Yes, I want to receive Jesus." And I led her to Jesus. And that was the last time I was with my friends at a party. I left and never came back. You know why? Because the grace of God, the gift of God, sets us free in this life. Sets us free. And when you receive it and you start to really understand that, man, this is a gift and I've been set free from sin, even though I might choose to sin, I'm not a slave to it anymore. I don't have to, it's not forcing me and controlling me, and it's not habitual. It's not habitual. It's not a habit anymore. I don't wake up thinking about sinning. When before I knew Jesus, I woke up thinking about sinning. Now I wake up thinking about, God, thank you for all the great things you've done in my life. And I know I'm free. Not perfect, but free. But in God's eyes, through his son's blood, I am perfect, and so are you. I am right with him, and so are you. Because he doesn't see us for what we are. He sees us through the blood and the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. And he sees us as perfect and holy and right. And now we can have a relationship. And the ultimate thing is not the freedom you get here. You know, I did a funeral. Family's here. I'm so grateful they're here this morning. But, man, it just set on me how much stock we put in the things we do in this life and not eternity. And I'm so grateful their son thought about eternity. Because, guys, this being so focused on what's happening around us in this life is like focusing on a raindrop when you're standing in front of the ocean. It's like focusing on a raindrop when you're standing in front of the ocean. This is but a drop. This is a moment. I don't care if you live to be 8 or 88 or 108. It is this. It's over quickly. And then eternity starts. Eternity starts. And the greatest gift we've ever been given is not what we get here in life and what we get to experience here, but what we experience in a place called heaven. Forever. I'm going to read you one last thing before we get out of here. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to sow some hope in you. Oh my goodness. Our loved ones are here. Our loved ones are experiencing this. There's so much hope. They are so excited. Heaven is at so many dimensions, and God is at so many dimensions. It's not floating around on a cloud. It's, man, we're going to be doing the most exciting. We're going to go on the greatest adventures. We're going to visit some places and things that we don't see in this dimension. We're going to see them. Man, oh my goodness, heaven. Woo! Eyes not seen, ears not heard, what God has prepared for those who love him, that have accepted this gift that he's offered. We're not going to be bored 1 second, 1 minute. Forever we're going to see new things and exciting adventures and serving one another. Forever! It's going to be awesome. And he says this in Revelation 21, after the day of great judgment. Those found guilty and not guilty. Not guilty, not because we didn't do anything wrong or we did things right, but not guilty because of the blood of Jesus and the gift we accepted of grace. It says, then in a vision I saw a new heaven and new earth. The first heaven and earth had passed away and the sea no longer existed. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, descending out of the heavenly realm from the presence of God. Can I tell you something? Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. This is it. The new Jerusalem. It's 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles high. Just to give you a perspective, it's as wide as the Atlantic to the Mississippi, as long as the Canadian border to the tip of Florida, and it's 60 miles into outer space. It is 1,440 miles outside of our atmosphere. It's that tall. This is the place that our loved ones are already at. It's the streets of gold. This is it. The streets of gold are just streets. It's asphalt. What's important is what he says next. From the presence of God, like a pleasing bride that had been prepared for her husband, adorned for her wedding. And I heard a thunderous voice from the throne saying, look, God's tabernacle is with human beings, his home. And from now on, he will tabernacle his, he will make a home with them as their God. Now God himself will have his home with them. God with them will be their God. You notice how many times it says God with them, God with them, God with them. He will wipe away, listen to this, every tear from their eyes and eliminate death entirely. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, death, where is your victory? It's swallowed up in eternal life with God Almighty and the grace gift he gave us of forgiveness, of his lordship, of his kindness, of his mercy forever and ever and ever. There'll be no more pain, no more tears, no more goodbyes. It is forever. We need to focus more on what is coming and telling people what is coming than the drain drop that we're living right now in time. Because it is glorious. It is awesome. It's the reason Jesus died for us, so that we could be in heaven forever together with Him. And not as husband and wife, not as cousin or stranger, not as American or African or Chinese or Russian, not as Mexican or a Salvadorian, but as brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, as a family, forever. I'm so grateful, because when I think about my loved ones that have passed, I see them there. No more tears, no more pain. I see them in eternity. They're in the ocean. We got to stop looking at the raindrop and start focusing on eternal life and sharing that grace with everyone we know. Everyone we know. Listen, every eye closed, you might be in here and you're not right with God, but I'm going to tell you something. He's given it's a free-flowing gift. It's a gift that's flowing and free right now. It's not free to you, and it's not flowing after you pass. It's only free and flowing right here, right now, in this moment called life, this time we live in. But there will come a time where there'll be no time. Be no tears, be no pain. Satan won't live there. Fallen humanity won't live there. It would truly be paradise, truly be heaven. And it's real, and it's where we go if we love Jesus and accept this grace gift. But not everyone goes there. Man, unfortunately, not everyone goes there. But God wants, He said, I desire that all men, all mankind, come to the knowledge of me. He said, I desire that everyone go there. He created heaven. Heaven could fit all 20 billion people. And if all 20 billion people that ever existed, please shut that phone off. If all 20 billion people that ever existed went to heaven, we'd all have 240 acres square a piece. God made heaven for all of us. But it comes down to a choice. By His grace, He gave us free will. And you have a choice to continue to be a slave, live in bondage. And I'm not saying you'll live perfect after this, but man, you'll be reaching for it, because the Holy Spirit who's perfect in you will motivate you and inspire you. He's not a dictator. He'll motivate and inspire you and remind you of your freedom. He'll lead you if you'll let Him. The Spirit of Almighty God will lead you, live inside of you, help you. He'll inspire you to live better than you've ever lived. I'm amazed the inspiration of the freedom, of the grace that God's given me, what it's inspired me to even think like, to do, to act like, to imagine. It's mind blowing. Better than any life I ever selfishly thought of before I knew Him. It's freeing. And I'm not afraid of death. We don't welcome it because we don't serve it. We don't serve death. We serve life, but we're not afraid of going to this next life either, because we know heaven's real. Man, if you've never prayed here or online, I know we have people online, thank you for being with us. If you've never prayed and accepted this grace gift, this unearned gift that God's offering, If you've never done that, we want to pray with you right now. Or maybe you've prayed it and, man, you ran away. You ran away from home. You're not serving Him. You're not seeking Him. You're not living with that cry of freedom inside of you. You've chosen to go backwards. Listen, He always welcomes you home. So whether it's your first time or your next time, you want to make sure you're right with God and you want to receive this grace gift and be accepted by God in His kingdom as His son, as His daughter. Here's your moment. But here's the deal. Let me just make it real clear. This has to be heartfelt. God can't be conned. He can't be. He sees right through it. He can't be deceived. He's not selling fire insurance. He's not selling a life insurance policy. This has got to be genuine and sincere and real, that your life is His, just like He gave His life for us. Now we give our life for Him. We go to work for Him. We love our families for Him. We love our children for Him. We love others for Him. We make a difference for Him. With what's left of our lives, we serve. We lay down our life and get to really experience what it's like to live, what it's like to love, what it's like to care, what it's like to overcome the obstacles and the pain and suffering we experience here. If that's you and you want to pray, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to do two things. On the count of three, online at the end of three, I'm going to ask you to message us on that message board. I'm praying for the first time or the next time. Here in this room, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and say, it's me. I need to get right with God. I'm going to pray today. I'm going to sincerely pray. I mean this. I need this. I know it. I want to go to heaven. I want to be free. I want to live a life worth having and giving away. I want that. I want to fulfill the destiny and purpose God has for me. I want to see my loved ones that have gone before me to heaven. And then the next thing we'll do is pray. Those are the two things. So here we go. On three, send a message online. Three, raise your hand here. Raise it up high. Don't be ashamed. I had to raise my hand. I raised it up high. I'm like, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I need you. I won't turn down this gift of grace. I'll receive it fully. So here we go. One, two, three. Raise your hand or send a message. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you all. God bless you guys. That's incredible. Thank you all that raise your hand. Let's all pray together, okay? Let's all pray. Pray online, pray here. I don't care if you're watching on Thursday and you're not right with God, He's speaking to you. Get right right now. He's offering it. It's free. It's free. Just accept it. And so let's pray this. Say this. Say, God, I believe You are God and God alone, that You love me and You gave me a gift through Your Son, Jesus, who died for my sins, His holy blood for my unholy blood. You raised Him from the dead, and You proved two things, that You love us all, and You are the Lord. And because I believe that, I ask that You forgive me of all my sins. And I say to You, Jesus, You are the Lord Jesus Christ of my life. I receive Your Holy Spirit to live in me and to teach me how to serve, how to lay down my life, how to truly live in freedom right now. Until I see You in heaven, thank You for saving my life. Thank You for grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's thank God, church. Come on. He's so good. He's so awesome.
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to find out more about Church on the Move, like our service times, or how you can connect with us, you can visit cotmroswell.com.